+49.
Bienvenidos to another edition of +49. My name is Iru Arteaga. Of course, I am a little bit sick today, but thank you so much for tuning in. As we have mentioned before, this is a time of the year when reflection comes naturally. And fittingly, this week's stories take us from political debates about German inside entity to how people feel about their cities they call their home. We're also going to be talking about the spread of the bird flu and what it could mean for the country's food supply in the months coming ahead. Spoiler alert, if you like baking, if you like eggs, watch out for the prices. Later in the show, I'll be joined by Mika. She is the brand ambassador for Mezcal Complice, to talk about what it means to represent a spirit that carries centuries of tradition and how she shares her story right here in Berlin. And for her cultural segment, we're going to make a small exception. Usually, we explore life and culture here in Germany, but this week we're going to be crossing borders because Día de los Muertos had not only traveled from Mexico to Germany, it has found a second home here. And of course, as a Mexican myself, I'll share how this celebration has taken roots and why its message of memory and connection resonates so strongly, even far away from home. And of course, we also have our Ask a German section. So let's get started. Let's start with the news. The remark made by CDU leader Friedrich Merz about the so-called Stadtbild, or cityscape, continues to spark controversy this week. Merz has suggested that Germany's urban centers should better reflect German culture, a statement widely criticized as a tone-deaf and exclusionary. In response, SPD General Secretary Kevin Kühnert said Merz's comments reflects a narrow and outdated view of what modern Germany looks like, emphasizing that cities have always been shaped by diversity, from migrants to artists, and new generations redefining what it means to be a German. Despite attempts by Merz to clarify this statement, the debate over identity, inclusion, and representation in Germany remains heated. Meanwhile, a new survey sheds light on how Germans feel about their cities. According to the latest Zufriedenheitsbarometer, overall satisfaction remains high. Around 80% of residents say they're happy with their living situation. However, concerns are growing in larger cities about rising rents, noise, and overcrowding. Smaller towns, especially in the southern of Germany, score better on safety, public services, and a sense of community. Weirdly enough, Berlin saw a small increase in satisfaction this year, driven by improvements in public transport and green spaces. On a very different front, the bird flu situation has intensified. Several outbreaks among poultry farms in northern Germany have led to new containment measures, including the culling of thousands of birds and stricter hygiene controls. The government has warned that egg prices and availability might be affected in the coming months as farms temporarily reduce production to prevent further spread. Experts say that while the risk to human health remains low, the situation is a reminder of how fragile food supply chains can be, especially during colder months. As I mentioned at the beginning, normally this part of the show, it's about German culture, the customs, the quirks, and of course the rhythms that make life here so unique. But this week, we're taking a smaller detour south, or maybe bringing a bit of the south here. Because Día de los Muertos, Dead of the Day, isn't just celebrated in Mexico anymore. It has slowly found its place in Germany and basically everywhere, which is great. Because this tradition, which dates back thousands of years, is often misunderstood as something dark or spooky. But the truth is, it's a celebration of memory and love. It's a moment when families honor their loved ones with who have passed away, not through silence or sorrow, but with color, music, mariachi, banda, and of course a lot of joy. Altars, called ofrendas, are built at homes or in public spaces. They're decorated with photos, candles, and a bright orange cempasúchil flowers. Don't ask me to say that in German because I have no idea how to translate cempasúchil, but the cempasúchil flowers are believed to guide the spirits back to the world of the living. Families bake pan de muerto, prepare favorite dishes, and gather together to share stories and laughter. It's about connection. It's about the idea that the people we have lost are still part of our lives, just in another form. You probably heard Día de los Muertos because of Spectre, the James Bond film, which featured a massive Día de los Muertos parade in Mexico City. Fun fact, that parade didn't exist before the film, but it became so iconic that Mexico decided to make it real. And of course, a few years later, Pixar's Coco touched hearts around the world, showing audiences how beautiful and emotional the celebration can be. Since then, Día de Muertos has truly gone international, and Germany has embraced it in its own way. From Berlin to München, Hanover to Hamburg, you will find events every year. Altars and cultural centers, film screenings, art installations, and workshops that invite both Mexicans abroad and curious local to take part. What's especially fascinating is how this colorful celebration contrasts with Germany's own Totensonntag, the Sunday of the Dead. Totensonntag falls on the third Sunday of November, and it's one of the most solemn days in Germany calendar. It's a Protestant date of remembrance dedicated to those who have passed away. Shops are closed, church bell rings, and the tone is quiet, reflective, and deeply respectful. In that sense, Día de los Muertos and Totensonntag share the same purpose, remembering the dead, but they approach it from opposite emotional directions. One is about peace and stillness, and the other one is about light, music, and community. And yet, when both are seen side by side, they show two beautiful ways humans deal with loss: silence and celebration. Let's talk about what is happening in Hanover this week. First, Casa México joined forces with the Kunstverein Hannover for a Día de los Muertos program running from November the 1st to the 17th at the Künstlerhaus on Sophiestraße 2. The opening takes place on Saturday, November the 1st, with a short inauguration ceremony at 11 a.m. The ambassador is going to be there. There's going to be a traditional ofrenda, an altar adorned with cempasúchil flowers, the candles, photos. It will be displayed throughout the 2 weeks, alongside workshops, family activities, and concerts celebrating the Day of the Dead. But if you prefer something with a little darker twist, then head to Halloween's Hanover Night of Horror. It's going to be placed on October the 31st, which is a Friday. Great to celebrate. It's built at the Ultimated Halloween Party. It's a night for fright, music, and unforgettable fun. Expect spooky decorations, costumes, DJs, and a packed dance floor as Hanover transforms into a city of ghosts for one night. Tickets are already on sale at halloween-hanover.de. So if you're brave enough, grab yours before they vanish. And on November the 7th, Kulturzentrum Faust hosts La Noche Oscura, a Halloween meets Muertos event blending live Latin bands, electronic beats, and immersive visuals. Costumes are highly encouraged. For families and anyone who prefers something gentler, the Herrenhaus Garten will host a traditional pumpkin and lantern walk on October 31st, a cozy candlelight evening with glowing paths, street performance, and warm drinks for kids and grown-ups alike. So, light up your candle, dance in your costume, and enjoy this autumn magic. Of course, Hanover has something for you this week as well, from the soulful to the spooky. This week's An Ask a German question came from our guest, Mika. She asked about something that many newcomers and people who have been living here wonder. Why is Nordic walking such a thing in Germany? I don't know if you've ever wandered through a park or just on the streets and you have seen this determined walkers with pulse moving briskly, rain or sunshine. And sometimes I can be very aggressive, to be honest, but yeah, it's part of the northern walking. It looks like skiing, but it doesn't have a snow. But on the other side, it is serious business here. The sport actually originated in Finland as an off-season training for cross-country skiers, but Germans embraced it wholeheartedly in the 1990s. Part of the appeal is the blend of fitness and, of course, no wonder here, efficiency. It burns more calories than regular walking, it improves posture, and puts less strain on joints than jogging. But there's also, of course, something cultural at play. Germans love structured outdoor activities that combine health, discipline, and nature. So it's kind of hiking, cycling, walking with poles, but of course it's all about being active, but also orderly. It might seem a little bit quirky at first, but Northern walking fits perfectly into the German way of life. Efficient, health conscious, and best enjoy in well-marked parks. And that's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. A big thank you to Mika from Mezcal Cómplice for joining us and sharing her story. And to you, our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, if you've enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe to Plus 49 wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to our Morning Espresso newsletter and, of course, to our social medias. Send us your tips, your ideas. If you want to share your story here, just send us an email or a DM. We're open for everything, and especially for you. Winter is never easy, and especially if you're in this migration process that I have said many times, it's not easy. Sometimes you think you're above it all and you're super happy here and integrated, and other days you just want to pack your things and leave. And now with the remarks of Mats, of course, there's a lot of things going through our minds and why we're here. And this is also one of the reasons we're doing this, because our idea is to help you navigate this life in Germany. Please know you're not alone, and definitely take care of your mental health. I'm Sigrid Arteaga, and I will see you next week, same time, same place, for more news, culture, and stories from life in Germany. Until then, stay warm, stay curious, and maybe raise a glass or a copita to those who came before us. Hasta la próxima.
It is a cold Friday in the middle of autumn in Berlin, and in front of me, I have another Latina that it's not only making me smile, but she also is just going to talk about one of my favorite things about Mexico, which is mezcal. If you already know tequila, you will love mezcal. And one of the greatest things about mezcal is that when you drink it, you really feel like everything is warming you inside out. You're like just happy about it. Mm. But before we get into that, hello.
Hi. A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We have in front of us Mika, and she's from Venezuela. Why did you arrive in Berlin? How did you arrive in Berlin?
Hi, thank you for having me. And yes, I arrived in Berlin seeking for a better life. I immigrated to Venezuela in 2009 and lived in Argentina for 10 years, where I had my own business. I started my MBAs, everything. And I loved my period there. But at the same time, I felt many of the things I was running away from, I was experiencing a sort of deja vu in Argentina. So loved, done, next step, which country would give me great stability in the ways I wanted to have my life. Germany won after a study of a year of six cities, and Berlin won, from all of those things. And very happy to be here since 6.5 years.
It is impressive how Germany is still on the top of our minds when we think about migrating from Latin America, even though it's, again, a very cold weather outside. But there is one thing that I do want to stretch out, is that the amount of Sicherheit, I don't even know how to say that now in English,
safety
that we have in this country is it's beautiful because it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. It's just a feeling of being safe here.
Absolutely. One of the main things of this that you're saying, actually, for me, safety has many, many ways of expressing for us what we value. And in my case, one of them is that people are not taking advantage of me. Because when you're doing things in Latin America, you know there is a B, C, D side of how to do things. And here usually it's just A way, you know. So that gives me a huge peace of mind. And that's also safety, you know, and how you live your life.
I can only say yes. And what are you doing right now with your life?
Yes. So I had a massive rebirth in my life about 3 years ago, which has just made me blossom in all the best ways.
So beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, very, very, very excited about the new chapters that I have been building. And one of the things that have enriched me the most in the last periods was precisely a trip I did to Mexico. And yes.
About that.
Uh-huh.
How'd that happen? What happened in Mexico? You fell in love with Mexico.
Mezcal happened.
Mezcal happened. Okay, that's even better.
No, the culture and yes, mezcal is culture. So I was there. I was just the plus one in a trip. It wasn't even intended for me to go there originally. So I was on for the ride, and I was there about 20 days, and it was a game changer. That it started slowly. I fell in love with the city, the cities I visited, the culture, the food, everything. I was already, disclaimer, I was already in Mexico many years ago when I graduated from university.
But it was to Cancun.
Genau, exactly.
Exactly. Genau, exactly. There's no better word than genau.
Genau. Cancun, Mexico City, but very briefly. I didn't like dwell in the whole culture. So now I was able to really do that. And when I came back to Germany, started to think like, wow, the way I experienced the culture, the mezcal, I went to, as I said, as a plus one for this ride to and got to know mezcal cómplices Palenque, and the way they were respecting the traditions, the practices, these are practices that have been passed on generations through generations, and to get to know how is the whole process of mezcal, what it represents to their daily lives and everything, it just went through me. So after this, a bit of time passed by, and then we connected again, and we decided together that I would be their ambassador here in Germany, because I was already doing it. Like, I was the ambassador, just talking to everyone, friends, colleagues, everybody about this mezcal. In general, mezcal, but really I noticed not only the respect that they have in the whole culture of producing and drinking mezcal, but also it's delicious. So we decided together to then be a good representative here in Germany.
So for those who are listening to us, Mexico has its tequila. The tequila comes from the blaue agave, the blue agave, which is basically the one that you all know of. I know that in Germany it's always about this Sierra tequila. A spoiler here, if you do not have a tequila that is 100% blue agave, you're getting sugar in your system. If you drink a tequila that is 100% agave, blue agave, you will not have a resaca.
Hangover.
A hangover. Yeah, thank you so much. Genau, again. And the tequila can be industrial. Nowadays, it's only industrial, whereas the mezcal can come from, I think, over 180 different agaves. And it's old, still handmade, which is amazing. So every batch, every mezcal that you drink is made out of the hands of the people behind it. And they take so much time, consideration, and hell, and they really get into it that once you sit down and eat it, it's an experience.
Yeah.
tastes a little bit more than whiskey. So for those who like whiskey and do not like tequila, try the mezcal.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the expert on mezcal. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about mezcal cómplice.
Yeah, you explained it really beautifully. It is like that. And it has wisdom, handcraft. It's a whole ritual. And the whole families are involved. They're so proud of every drop they drink because they're honoring, for example, when I was talking with the mezcalmeister, that he was drinking in that cup of mezcal what his grandfather was working for, growing the agave plant, like the espadín, that is the main agave plant. This one takes anything from 7 to 12 years to grow, which is already, that's a difference, for example, since you mentioned whiskey. We don't need to age the mezcal in barrels because it's already mature by growing the plant itself. So you have the espadín, you have these you can grow in farms, but also are the wild varieties that they're actually, they grow through the pollinization of bats in the wild lands of Oaxaca. So this is, you could grow them, but the flavor is different because each plant is fed by the environment. The air, as I said, the pollinate, then the weather, everything. So these wild varieties, each of these agave plants have different expressions of flavor. Ones are more fruital, the other ones are more fresh or herbal, other ones are sweeter. So it's quite an interesting journey to taste, enjoy the experience that it is to drink different expressions of mezcal. And mezcal is perfect for pairing with different foods as well. It's actually from the three drinks that you can pair food with is wine, beer, and mezcal because of all the differences of expression they have. So the process is completely artisanal. It goes from cutting the agave, then they put it in the under earth oven with wood. That's what it gives it a smoked flavor that this actually we haven't said about. So it's like the smoked, very richer and more traditional version of what you would know of a tequila. And then after it's cooked there, it's smashed by this huge stone, a wheel, and then by horse, led by horses. After that, it's put in the wooden
barrels,
you know, like tins, barrel, like a pool, yeah, where they ferment, and after that, double distillation in copper alambics. So what happened there? The kid of the family is shushing the horse, so it would smash the agave. Then they know the exact moment when it's ready to be distilled. By the check-in, it could be at 4 a.m., it could be at 3 p.m. It's just a lifestyle, and they're so proud of every drop, and that's why I would say that it's important and responsible to pass on this information. Mezcal is not to be, even tequila, good tequila, proper good tequila.
Not Sierra tequila, good tequila. I'm so sorry about exactly. The Sierra tequila, but exactly. That is not a tequila.
And it should be kissed. We say in Mexico, you kiss the agave, you kiss the mezcal. You don't shut it up. That's more of maybe a transcultural marketing situation to sell more. But this you kiss and enjoy because, for example, mezcal company, well, one of the things that seeks is to really promote the ritual of drinking the mezcal instead of just drinking it to get drunk. You know, it's not what it's meant to be for. So that's why it is so beautiful, a beautiful ritual, and that should be respected and enjoyed for sure.
And you mentioned that from the food that you can taste it with or complement it with is mm-hmm. wine, beer, and mezcal.
Yeah.
So you already have there a very nice bridge between Germany and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also a bridge between Latin America and Germany. But what has it been for you the biggest cultural shock by living in Germany, living in Germany, period. Mm-hmm, period. I think that is a cultural shock for itself.
Yeah. Thing is funny. I learned to realize that I'm a little German. I was organically already a little German. So I would say that things were not as strict as I thought they were, meaning Berlin, because Berlin is not Germany, right? And I haven't lived anywhere else in Germany than Berlin.
I still have to debate that. I do understand that Berlin is not Germany in many ways, but if you have a German friend or you meet Germans, the first thing that you will notice are the typical things regarding, like, if you ask a German of anything, you will always hear no first, and then we can talk about the next part.
Yeah, maybe in 2 years we can actually even openly talk about it.
Yeah, maybe, but let's give it a shot first with
right.
Like, yeah, you being a little German first.
yeah. So, I think that's for sure. Yeah, here in Berlin, when you're meeting actual Germans, you notice that. But there are so many expats here that it ends up to be quite blunt and softer than why I expected before moving here. Because I moved to Germany without ever being here before. So, and the other thing was, because in Latin America we don't have that, the trust system, that like they think good of your intentions. And I love that. I mean, this is related with what I said before about having a peace of mind, because I act on the ways I think is correct based on my moral, my ethics, and that's good. But of course, to every good thing, there's a B side. And there are people that take advantage of that. For example, the ticketing on the BVG. To name one simple one, right?
It's true. It's true. The Schwarzfahren, this trying to avoid getting caught.
Yes.
It's sort of kind of sometimes even a game.
Yeah, exactly. For many, it is. Some people, I read once somewhere that some people, even Germans, like are not paying it on purpose because it would be cheaper to pay two fines a year than paying the BVG ticket. So yeah, I would say that. And that actually, oh yes, one last thing, but this is weather related. I don't mind the cold, but I definitely underestimated the darkness. Friends of mine, because I met many Germans before moving here, and they said, take vitamin D, do whatever you can to keep your spirit up. I'm like, yeah, I'm Latina, I bring the sun with me. Nine. No, yeah. Suddenly, I moved here on a beautiful end of March. So I experienced the whole cherry blossom, people on the street starting to go out in the street before COVID. So I was like, what is happening here? The city's like Wonderland. Then I managed to get my Aufenthaltstitel, I found a flat, big deal, Berlin.
Big deal.
Yeah. Everything, I was set. And then October came and I was miserable. And what is this? I understood it was the darkness, it was affecting me, but managed to take vitamin D, exercise.
So we already had these two recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
I would add another one, that is to have a happy list of things, that a playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. To have, like, whenever you're feeling like super down and you just want to hear Creep on loop, no? Put salsa. In my case, I put reggaeton. I put something that even
cook while listening to this. It just changes the whole game. Yeah, for the day.
I'm pretty sure that there's something specifically that for people that are hearing us that can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, was definitely a happy playlist.
Mm.
Is there anything else that you would recommend people besides having some mezcal, of course?
Oh, that helps. A lot. And that, it doesn't give you hangover. Believe me, when I'm having like messes, like moments that you really are drinking a lot, never a hangover with a mezcal. So that's a really good thing. But yeah, a recommendation. I heard the first month when I moved to Germany, one advice from a Latina friend that was living here for a long time. And she said, and it was so simple, but so wise. She said, do not pretend that what you will do in the summer, you will do in the winter time, and vice versa. Find your list of amazing activities that you will enjoy in each season, and then do not pretend that you want to do the other one. For example, winter time, enjoy your wine, your mezcal, candles, you know, this cozy time, and summer, be outside the whole day. But do not pretend that one is in the other. And that will make you a peace of mind, also really, really beautiful to navigate the seasons.
That is a great recommendation. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I started last year going ice dipping.
Oh, okay. How's that work?
It's amazing. You have to come with. It's in the Schlachtensee. They're called ice dippers. I interviewed them for the show, and that's how I got there.
Okay.
I never imagined in my life going to a frozen lake mm-hmm. or having my toe mm-hmm. just touching minus one anything
yeah.
or zero. But it was such a great experience that I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Because I don't know, it's kind of like, yes, a shock, but then you're, after that, you feel so alive.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you do feel like you're part of this whole nature in winter. So, and maybe what we can do, and we can invite people to do that with us, we can go first for an ice dipping, and then we can have a shot of mezcal.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. That would be amazing with some fire or something next to a chimney after this. Yeah, sounds good.
Like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mika, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks to you. Really, thank you very much. Really appreciate our talk.
We will have on the show notes what mezcal cómplice is and where to get it, because it's here in Germany, which is not very easy to get.
Yeah, especially not a premium mezcal.
Exactly.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I do want to, before we leave, I just wanted to say, because you're going to be hearing this before Día de los Muertos, and Día de los Muertos, or how in the town of my dad is called Xantolo in Nahuatl. It's a tradition. If you have seen Coco, you probably already know what it is. So thank you, Disney, for that, because they really did an amazing job for it. Mm. Día de los Muertos, it's about celebrating life with those who are not longer with us, but they come down to celebrate with us. So we have the chance to honor their lives the way that they have touched our life as well. And we can have fun with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have any things or any event around it where you can see this, I know that Frankfurt has a couple of events. I know that Hanover has a couple of events from the Mexican community. Hamburg has one. Berlin has one. And I'm almost certain that München also has them. Go. And if you just want to do a little mezcal, or maybe, let's put it the other way, you want to do a little Mexican tradition, then on the 1st or on the 2nd of November, light up a candle to show them that you're thinking about them. Put a picture of them so they know that you're there, that they are there with you. And drink a mezcal on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And remember them for all the love that they gave you. And this is one of the main reasons. We are missing them because we love them. And they loved us back.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not 100% gone. They're only in another plan, if we can say that.
And alive in us.
Yes, mm-hmm. And they're alive in us. And with Día de los Muertos, we can remember them. So let's see what you think after doing this. And you're more than welcome always to have a mezcal and remember all of the happy moments.
Mm-hmm. Close to that.